Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as we know, the book of Romans is preeminently the book of the gospel. And as we make our way through the book, it becomes apparent that in the gospel there is greater fullness than most Christians realize. The gospel can be understood at a simple child's level on the one hand, but on the other hand, there is a depth in the gospel to challenge the most learned of God's people. And that's why as Christians we should never stop hearing, never stop studying, never stop learning the gospel. Now, I know that to some people that statement may not ring a bell. I've often had people say to me, the church that I attend or the church that I used to go to or something like that, all I heard was the gospel every Sunday, and I needed something else to help me grow. Well, I know what they were talking about, at least I think I do. Of course, to know for sure, I'd have to question them more carefully, but I think I know what they were talking about, and they were probably hearing a simple evangelistic appeal with the gospel, primarily at a child's level, reiterated over and over and over without any depth involved. And that, of course, will not help a Christian to grow. And I'm not even sure that that's the most effective way to evangelize. But properly understood, we could study the gospel, we could preach the gospel every Sunday for 100 years and never get to the bottom of it, because there's such a richness there. And if you ever get to the place as a Christian where you are unwilling to hear anything more about the gospel, then frankly, you're in spiritual trouble. Because the gospel is music to the ears of God's blood-bought children. Tell me the old story. That song, I think, captures the content of what I'm trying to say here. Those who love it best never tire to hear it like the rest. I can't remember the exact words of the song, but that's the way that it goes. Well, again, that's only true if you are getting into different aspects of the gospel. And that's what the book of Romans will help us to do. Now, we move today from chapter 7 into chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 is a favorite chapter of many people. It seems to breathe a different atmosphere than chapter 7. And chapter 7 was one of despair and strain, stress, wrestling, striving as a Christian. But chapter 8 follows chapter 7 to complete the picture. Chapter 7 is not the totality of the Christian life, though it is an important aspect of it that sometimes is entirely overlooked or is denied or is misunderstood. And so it is very important that we make our way through chapter 7, but oh, how good to come out the other side and to come into chapter 8. So as we come to chapter 8, there's still a war between good and evil, between sin and righteousness, but now the dominant note is victory, not wrestling and striving and despair over lack of progress. We might say that chapter 7 is the bad news, and the bad news is that Adamic sinfulness remains in the believer until death. and he will never be able to be comfortable with his indwelling sin. He will never be completely happy until he is able to love and serve Christ with all of his heart, which he cannot do as long as sin remains. But there is good news. And the good news is that God has given us resources that are more than sufficient to overcome indwelling sin. It is important that we understand the situation as it truly exists, and then avail ourselves of everything God has given for victory over sin. And so the Holy Spirit, by the way, comes into the picture in Romans chapter 8. He was not mentioned in chapter 7. In chapter 7, we were talking about the weakness of the remaining flesh and how it plagues the children of God. But in Romans chapter 8, we get to the powerful work of the Holy Spirit that deals with our indwelling sin. Chapter 7, indwelling sin. Chapter 8, indwelling spirit. And that, dear friends, is good news. Now let's take the first two verses of Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And verse 1 talks about no condemnation and reminds us of the believer's secure position. Will this indwelling sin that we talked about in chapter 7 eventually conquer me as a Christian, eventually ruin me as a Christian? No. No. Well, how can I be sure that I will make it safely home to heaven? How can I be certain of acquittal at the judgment bar of God? Well, because of the divine verdict given to us in chapter 8, verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. And that, we might say, is the first blessing of salvation. No condemnation. The songwriter said, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living head and clothed in righteousness divine. And when we're clothed in righteousness divine, that is the righteousness of Christ, a perfect righteousness, then we are perfectly clothed for the judgment bar of God, and there's only one possible verdict, no condemnation. It's not that there's nothing in us that is worthy of condemnation, because in ourselves, of course, there is. In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But the law cannot condemn us because the judge has ruled no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And this divine verdict of no condemnation is a present reality. There is therefore now, N-O-W. There is therefore now, not in the future, but now, no condemnation. This is a chronological present as well as a doctrinal present. It does not await a future verdict. Sometimes people act as if they will have to die and go to the judgment bar of God and then find out whether they are going to heaven or hell. They've got to await the final verdict. Well, I can understand why people think that way if they think that the verdict is based upon my good deeds outweighing my bad deeds, and if they do, I go to heaven, and if they don't, I go to hell. But you see, that's not what the verdict is based upon. The verdict is based upon whether or not you are in Christ Jesus. And that takes place in time. If you're not in Christ Jesus when you die, you will not be in Christ Jesus in the day of judgment. It'll be too late then. And if you're not in Christ Jesus at the day of judgment, then there's only one possible verdict. Guilty. Guilty as charged. Because all have sinned and come short of the righteousness of God, or come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so there's only one possible verdict. In that case, guilty. Guilty as charged. And therefore, condemnation. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that is true now. If you are in Christ now, then there is no condemnation now or forever. But it is all based upon this vital relationship to them which are in Christ Jesus. Because, you see, the satisfaction that satisfies the holy demands of a righteous God in regard to his holy law, that satisfaction is found completely and only in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, not to those who are working hard, trying hard, living a good life, keeping the Ten Commandments, living by the Golden Rule, being a good neighbor, belong to a church, have been baptized. None of those things are mentioned here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And to be in Christ, of course, means to believe in Christ. And it means, therefore, to be joined to Christ, and in that way to be in Christ. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Well, that's the in that is being talked about here. Being joined to Christ in vital union, so that the life of Christ is flowing in you. And so that the righteousness of Christ has covered you. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in that vital relationship, to those who are in Christ federally, as we are all in Adam by our first birth, and he represents us, and we are therefore condemned in sin. So when by faith we come to Jesus Christ, we are transferred and are no longer in Adam, no longer represented by him, but we are in Christ. We are in him federally, that is, representatively. We are in him positionally. And as far as our record is concerned, all that he is and did applies to us. If he lived a sinless life, that applies to all who are in Christ. As far as our record before the judgment bar of God is concerned. If he died on the cross and paid a sufficient price for the penalty, as the penalty for sin, then that payment applies to all who are in Christ. We have paid the price, the full penalty of the weight of the law because of our sin, and we have been credited with a perfect righteousness which belongs to Jesus Christ. And that's what it means to be in Christ Jesus, and therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What other conclusion could you draw? That's the inevitable conclusion, the inevitable result. And that's why this verse says, therefore. There is, therefore, now, not future, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the inevitable conclusion of being in Christ. And if by the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you have come to acknowledge your sin, you have come to repent of your sin, you have come to cry out to God through Christ Jesus for deliverance from your sin, if you have savingly believed in Jesus Christ and therefore have been joined to him, you are in Christ, and there is therefore now no condemnation for you. That, my friends, is good news. That, my friends, is the gospel. And that, my friend, needs to be understood, and it needs to be proclaimed far and wide. Until tomorrow at the same time, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.